Hey, Sephra, I want to learn with you tonight the Gemara on Yud Tes Amud Aleph, which is a continuation of the sugya on Yud Ches Amud Aleph, Yud Ches Amud Beis that we've been doing for a while. I understand that like some of you were not really here in the last couple of weeks, so we'll try to summarize what we've done and then get into tonight's topic. So the first thing that we saw is on Yud Ches Amud Aleph at the bottom. It says, "Sikeich al gabe achzadra sheyesh lo petzimin." If a person puts schach on top of an achzadra, so if you remember, we drew the picture a number of times, but basically, what we have over here is a there are some homes. Here's a home. Here's a home. Here's a home, and there's a portico, which is like an overhang. The way Rashi learns the Gemara is if I put schach on top of this, if I, okay, this is the portico, and Rashi learns the Gemara. If I put schach on top of this area, so that's the question in our Gemara. If it's yesh l'petzimin, meaning if we have little posts that are supporting the area where the schach goes, and those little posts, according to Rashi, are within lavud. So in that case, it's going to be kosher. As you can tell, my picture is extremely beautiful. But the way Rashi is saying the Gemara, what I have is a portico, and I'm making sukkah in the middle of the portico. So I have this area with all the overhangs. And if I have petzimin, if I have ballasts or things that hold up small boards that go around and around and hold up the schach, so in that case it's going to be kosher because those things are lavud. And lavud works. The only question is, let's say I don't have lavud. Let's say I have the portico and there are no petzimin hanging it up. There are no posts holding it up. So then it's called pi tikra. And pi tikra, right, is a question whether I can drop the ceiling. One of Tanya's favorite topics in Judaism is to talk about good aches mechitza. Can I take a mechitza, drop it, or lower it? That's when I have a vertical, dropping it or lowering it. But if I have a horizontal, and I want to say that I create a mechitza by just dropping the horizontal, I have a ceiling that ends. This whole area is a roof. It's too big to say dofen akuma. But the question is, can I drop it and make an imaginary mechitza all the way around because I drop the ceiling? Make this into a mechitza. That's the question of pi tikra. That's a machlokes Abaye and Rava. And we paskin that we do not say pi tikra. We paskin like Rava, we do not say pi tikra. This is Judaism according to Rashi. So Rashi's Gemara is discussing pi tikra on three sides. As a matter of halacha, I can build a sukkah over here, but in order to build a sukkah, I need what's called pitzimen, which means I need little posts that go around and around, because then it's within lavud, and then I have a kasher sukkah. But if I don't have the posts, if I just have, if I don't have the posts at all, so in that situation, it's a question of whether I say pi tikra yored is so same. Do I assume that I can just drop the ceiling? So it's a machlokes Abaye and Rava whether we can drop the ceiling. And the pashto says that the halacha would follow Rava, that we do not drop the ceiling. This is what we have said until now. So far, so good? Now, the Gemara on Yud Tes Amud Aleph. The Gemara says,
Tanan. Right, let's pick up from Yud Tesamen Aleph. Tanan is the fourth line from the top. I'm giving a shear now. Okay, this is called Life with Children, Bar Fishing. So now, Snan. So we learned in our Mishnah earlier in Yud Zayin, V'chein Chatzar HaMukefes Achsadra, right? The Mishnah had a case of a courtyard that's surrounded by an Achsadra. If you remember, Rashi in the Mishnah said an Achsadra is a cloister, right? We spent some time discussing that. So the Mishnah says that I have a Chatzar that's Mukaf Achsadra. So if it's more than four Amos, so then I cannot say Dolphin Akuma, and then it won't be good. V'amai. The Gemara asks, why is it not good? Why can you not make a sukkah in the middle? Name a pitikra yorid besosim. Let's say pitikra. So the Gemara answers, Tirgama Rava Aliba de Abaye, Kishahishva es Kiruyav. Rava explains for Abaye, meaning Abaye is the opinion who says that we apply the rule of pitikra. Rava denies the rule of pitikra entirely. The Mishnah seems to be against Abaye. The Mishnah seems to support Rava. Zuck the Gemara, that no. We can explain, right? Rava is going to explain for Abaye. It's kind of funny. You know, Tirgama Rava, Aliva Abaye. Rava, who's Abaye's opponent, is explaining to answer for Abaye, Kishahishva et Kiruyav, meaning that the ceiling is leveled off. Let's look at the Rashi over here, Kishahishva et Kiruyav. Zakt Rashi, Sha'asa Kiruyav Namach, V'lo Nasan Rashi Hakonim Al Gabe Tikra, She Pei Tikra Nir Eba, Ela Tila'an B'Shaveh, Lefi HaNesarim, She'ein chuda nire besuka kama. Right, so what's Rashi saying? Rashi saying, I will give it away. In order to say pi tikra, it has to be that you look up and you see the pi tikra. You see the mouth of the ceiling. You see the end. You see the edge of the ceiling. In this case, you want to say pitikra. You want this ceiling to drop. But the Gemara's case is that no, it's hishved kiruyav, meaning I have my schach going all the way. The schach is underneath the edge of the portico. Consequently, you do not see the edge of the portico. Consequently, you cannot say pitikra yorid besosim. Right? The idea is, the way Rashi's explaining it is, that the schach is underneath. Therefore, I do not see the edge, the corner of the portico. Therefore, I cannot say pitikra. Hi, Tanya.
Yeah, I'm just curious. Okay, we were seeing it more like a tension rod, but what is it resting on if it's under? That's why we saw it as a tension rod, because then it would be suspended.
Okay, so you have to explain to me what a tension rod is.
Okay, so it's kind of funny that I happen to have this. I was just fidgeting with it before. But you would put it, like when you have like in a bathtub and you have a thing that just,
oh, okay.
And then you tighten it. So it's literally just suspended. So how would it rest if it's underneath? Like what? It's not resting on anything. That's why we're seeing as a
tension. The idea is that there's probably some moving over further. Remember, this area, let's say, is five amos. So let's say three amos in, I have like another ledge, and the schach is resting on that ledge. But the point is, I cannot see the edge of the tikra. And therefore, I'm not able to say pitikra. According to Rashi, the standard case in our Gemara is that the schach is resting on top of the achsadra.
right? I have a portico going around. The schach usually rests on top, on top, on top. I should be able to say pitikra. The only thing is, if it's hishve et kiruyav, which means the way we read Rashi, that the schach is underneath the end of the, is underneath the edge of the portico. So therefore, I cannot say pitikra. It's ein chudan nira. You can't see the edge. That's the way Rashi learns. Good? Now, what we're going to do is we're going to go through the next Gemara with Rashi, and we'll try to have a composite picture of Rashi, then we'll try to do Taismas and the Rush, and then we'll open the Shulchan Aruch and try to see the other Rishonim. That's basically our goal. Let's go weiter. Besura. It's seven lines. It's seven lines from the top of the Tesamon Aleph. Besura Masil Hashmaitza Bahai Lishna. In Surah, they learn the Gemara the way we just said it. Pumpadisa Masni, and Pumpadisa, they say it as follows. Sike Chagabe Achsadra She'en La Petzimin. If I put Tzchach on top of an Achsadra that does not have Petzimin, Divrako Psula. Geshla Petzimin, Abaya Amikashera, Rava Amra Psula. If it's Achsadra that has Petzimin, then there's a machlokas Abaye. Rava Abaye says kshera because you say lover. Rava Mapsula because we don't say lover. Hilchos HaKelish Nekama. Right? Meaning, we have a version number two in the Gemara, which is the way they learned it in Fallujah, which we all know is Pumpadisa. So version two in the Gemara says that the machlokas Abaye and Rava is talking about a case where it is an achsadra sheyesh la petzimin. Right? The machlokas is like this, where you have those petzimin supporting the achsadra. This is the way Rashi learns the Gemara. The machlokas is whether or not I say lavod. Abaye is going to say, I deny lavod. Rava says, no, we hold of lavod. Now, it's obviously inconceivable, right? It's impossible that anyone would deny lavod entirely. So Zakt Rashi, when we say that Abaye denies lavod, what that means is that in this case, the ballasts, the little supports, are basically intended to go in this direction. They're intended to enclose the portico area. So that's why Abaye would deny lavod in this case. Of course, we hold of lavod in other cases. We hold of lavod ordinarily. But in this one case where the, in this... Yosef Dov apologizes, or maybe he doesn't actually, but that's the way it is. Now, what Rashi is saying, and Rashi writes this clearly, is that Abaye says that we say lavod. Rava says we do not say lavod, because Rava says that the petzimin are only intended for this direction, hence they do not help for the person who wants to enclose, to make his sukkah over here. Since the petzimin go in that direction, it doesn't help. So version two of the Gemara, the version in Pumpadisa, is that there's a machlekes Abaye and Rava as to whether we say lavod, and therefore Rava would say we do not say lavod, meaning that when the lover is only going this way, when the goal of those little posts is to enclose this area, then I cannot say lover. I can only say lover if the lover is going in the same direction as what I want to enclose. But we don't pass in like this Lishna Basser. We don't pass in like the Pumpadisa version of the Gemara. So therefore, it's going to be kosher. So far, so good, ladies. Ms. Gutman, welcome back.
Thank you. I know we talked about the vertical versus horizontal lavud in the past. And I don't remember what we said. So even though we're not passing like this Lishna, is this true that it doesn't work? Lavud if it's vertical.
So again, we paskin that lavud does work, and it works vertical. Lavud works horizontal also. There's a discussion that might not work on all four sides, right? But you can certainly compose one mechitza with lavud. Lavud is like basic halacha l'moshe misinai. We did it in Daf Yomi like 3 days ago, 4 days ago. It's like basic Judaism, right? That's lavud. Adkan. Now, we paskin that we say lavud, and that is the end of our Gemara according to Rashi. The Ritva, which I didn't assign to you just because it's a little involved, but the Ritva feels that it's inconceivable that anyone would ever deny lavud. You can't deny lavud. Even Rava could not deny lavud because it goes in the opposite direction. Lavud is a fundamental, it's like ikarei ha'emuna. You can't deny lavud. It's like very fundamental. You're just not allowed to deny it. Therefore, the Ritva says that what our Gemara really means is as follows. When we say, according to the second Lashon, that we have lavud or we don't have lavud, what that means is, can I say a pitikra only when there is a lavud also? According to the Ritva, the entire Gemara is about dropping the ceiling, creating a mechitza by just taking the edge of the ceiling and dropping it. There are opinions that you can only drop a ceiling if you also have lavud, right? If you also have sticks. And lavud, says the Ritva, does not mean regular lavud of three tfachim. Lavud over here just means sticks that are far apart. Lavud means like not lavud. Lavud means sticks that are far enough apart that it's not within three tfachim. The question in the Gemara is whether I can say pitikra absent any sticks. The Gemara says, according to Rava, that I do not say lavud when there are sticks. That means I am not going to say lavud, says the Ritva, on all three sides, even though there are sticks. The rule of pitikra, according to the Ritva, and kind of just hold this and we'll come back to it, I hope, later this evening. According to Ritva, the rule of pitikra is never said on all three sides. Even if you have sticks, you cannot say pitikra on all three sides. That's the Ritva. We'll come back to this a little bit later. So far, so good? Tanya, okay.
All right, I just, like, the Ritva saying that lavud is not lavud, like, is there any precedent for saying that the Gemara is not precise like that?
I don't know if there's any precedent for saying the Gemara is not precise like this. It's a little hard. Can you still see me? Or like I'm trying to download something.
We can still see you.
You can still see me. Okay, excellent. I'm going to try to share something again, maybe in a minute if I can. But what the Ritva is saying, that lavud isn't lavud, yeah, it's a strange type of idea. I totally agree with that. It's a strange notion. Okay. Any precedent? I'm not enough of a Bucky and Shas to know whether there's any precedent for that. Okay.
Let's go weiter. Rav Ashi Ashkechem Rav Kahana to come Isaki Hagabe Achsad Rosh Ein Lapitzimin. So Rav Ashi finds that Rav Kahana is putting schach on top of an achsadra she'ein lapitzimin, meaning there are no posts, and Rav Ashi is putting schach on top of it. Right. So Rav Ashi has schach over here. This is his sukkah, but there are no posts. Amar lei. Rav Ashi says to Rav Kahana, Lo savor lamar hod amar Rava yesh lapitzimin kshera ein lapitzimin. Psula, you never heard that if there's no pitzimin, it's going to be puzzle. Ach vilei, so he showed him that it's nirim bachutz v'shav b'fnim. Inami, nirim bachutz, right? Ina, it's nirim b'fnim v'shav b'chutz, or nirim bachutz v'shav b'fnim, which works as a lechi. That's what the Gemara says. Now, Rashi learns this Gemara as follows. Rav Ashi Ashkechei l'Rav Kahana. Rashi learns that the Gemara is not talking about the way I drew the picture. According to Rashi, the Gemara is talking about something like this. I have two sukkah walls. Let's look at the Rashi. Rav Ashi Ashkechei l'Rav Kahana. Sukkah zu shtayim kehil chasan hayula darom u'mizrach. Right. So you have the two walls and they intersect. One is south. One is east. V'hashlishes smucha la'achsadra. And wall number three is near, you have an achsadra right over here. This is an achsadra. Wall number three is near the achsadra. V'lo haya also b'tefach shamru chachamim. He did not make the tefach chachamim say. Meaning, the halacha is a sukkah is supposed to be shtayin kelchas and shlishis afilu tefach. Sukkah is two walls, and you need a third wall, which is a tefach. In this case, he didn't do that. He didn't have a third wall. He has two intersecting walls. There's no third wall. It's nechdu and achsadra. So the Gemara feels that presumably what he's doing is he is going to use our miraculous pitikra to close it off. He's going to make the third wall based on the achsadra. Based on that overhang, the pitikra. The Gemara asks, how can you do that? The rule is that we do not say pitikra unless there are pitzimin. You need pitzimin. You need those ballasts, those posts. You can't say, but you can't just have a pitikra to finish it off. So the Gemara answers, he showed him that there is a nir emi bachutz v'shav emi bifnim, meaning that little corner that I just circled, that little corner is a third wall of the sukkah. If my perspective is over here, so then I do not see this as a wall, right? I don't see this little thing as a wall when I'm standing inside the sukkah. But if I am outside the sukkah, I could see this area, mamish, as a bit of a wall. Zok the Gemara. Again, this is the Gemara as understood by Rashi, that the case is nir emi bachutz v'shav emi bifnim. By the way, the Rashash takes out the words nir emi bifnim v'shav emi bachutz. Right? Our Gemara has both, Nir Bifnim and Shav Bachutz, and Nir Bachutz or Shav Bifnim. The Rasha says the only case is Nir Emi Bachutz or Shav Emi Bifnim. From the inside perspective, this woman in the sukkah, you don't see any third wall. From the outside perspective, you see a third wall. Therefore, Nir Emi Bachutz or Shav Emi Bifnim helps because we have a halachic principle that a wall or a something, a mechitza, that is noticeable only from the outside, but not from the inside, can count as a wall. So according to Rashi, what the Gemara is saying is that I have, this Gemara is completely dissimilar to everything we've learned until now. It's similar in terms of what I would have thought. Until now, we've been talking about
You have a portico around and around, something like that, no? But from this point on, or this little bit of Gemara is talking about something completely different. This bit of Gemara is talking about, I have two intersecting walls. I need a third wall to be machshir the sukkah. Zak the Gemara can be machshir the sukkah with a wall that is nira mi b'chutz v'shava mi b'fnim, a wall that's on the outside. The fact that it's next to an achsadra, the fact that there's like a portico over here, right? Right, achsadra, that's really immaterial according to Rashi. The thing that makes this a kosher sukkah is that little shmigegi, that little wall, right, which is nira mi b'chutz, the wall that you could only see from outside the sukkah, not from inside the sukkah. Now, right, you thought this would be easy Gemara. Ha ha ha. Now it goes like this. It goes like this. What the concept of Nira mi b'chutz v'shava mi b'fnim is a concept that exists in Eiruvin. Remember, an Eiruv that we have isn't really an Eiruv. What we're talking about is Meseches Eiruvin. I have homes. And they open into a chatzer, and the chatzer opens into a mavoi. So I have a bunch of homes that open to a courtyard, and all the courtyards open into this area, which is called a mavoi. It's like an alley. There are two ways of being machshir a mavoi. I can be machshir a mavoi with a korah, with the beam that goes on top. Right, if I put like a beam up here, that's machshir the mavoi. That's one way of doing it. But there's another way of being machshir mavoi, and that other way of being machshir the mavoi is that you make a lechi. You put a little one post over there, one vertical post. The way we have the vertical post in this picture, the vertical post is noticeable to the people who are inside the mavoi. That's called nira mi bifnim, that you could see it from the inside. You could have a case of nira mi bifnim v'shava mi b'chutz, meaning you could have a situation that the people from the inside can notice it. The people from the outside don't see anything. Let's say it's a slightly different height or whatever. The people from the outside don't notice any difference. I could be creative, but I don't remember exactly how to do it. The case that we're dealing with, however, let's say, is a case of nira mi b'chutz v'shava mi b'fnim, meaning my post for the mavoi is not noticeable for the people inside the mavoi. The post is only noticeable from someone whose perspective is outside, right? If your perspective is from outside the mavoi, you could see this thing, right? You could say, oh, wow, I noticed that there is a post there. If my perspective is from inside, I don't notice anything because that little shmigegi is on the outside. So the concept of nira mi b'chutz v'shava mi b'fnim is a concept that is found in the halachos of a mavoi, of Eiruvin. Our Gemara is invoking that halacha. Our Gemara, as understood by Rashi, is invoking that halacha in the sense of making this into a kosher sukkah. I have two walls, wall A and wall B. I need a third wall. Well, I have a third wall. Wall C is that little shmigegi over there that goes towards the outside. Nira mi b'chutz, shava mi b'fnim, that's a good sukkah according to Rashi. This is what the Gemara is saying. And it has nothing to do with rules of pitikra or anything like that. It's just a rule of nir'e mi b'chutz, v'shava mi b'fnim, that this counts as a sukkah. Ms. Squire, how are you?
Struggling with this a little bit. I guess one thing that I find difficult with this is that isn't the point of for sukkah of the walls to demarcate space? So you're not really marking off space or enclosing it in any way when the wall is exterior to the sukkah. So it's not really achieving the objective, I would think.
So you're actually asking Tosis's question in a more sophisticated way. In other words, you're saying that the idea of a sukkah has to be that you are enclosed in a certain space. If you have a wall towards the outside that doesn't enclose your space at all, that's not possible that that wall should be a sukkah wall. Because this wall C, the way we have it, does not do anything for the person who is right inside. Right, that person doesn't gain anything from wall C. That person's not enclosed at all, so it can't possibly be a good sukkah wall. That's your kasha, correct? So I'll tell you that this is exactly Tosfos' kasha. Let's look at the little Tosfos. Ach vilei nir mivachos u'shavim mivifnim. Tema. Tosfos asks, heichu mo'el b'sukkah. Kevan d'lo minkar mivifnim shlisha shel tefach. Right? I think this is what Rachel is asking. How could it possibly help by sukkah? The person inside the sukkah doesn't notice that third wall. The person doesn't notice the third wall at all. So how could it possibly help? De'imi shemigo, if you're going to tell me it helps based on a principle that the Gemara in Daf Yomi has been dealing with. The thing about doing Daf Yomi is like there's it goes so fast. Right? Like this principle, Migo, we could have spent a month on it. And Daf Yomi, you spend like 15 minutes if you're lucky. But if it's because of this principle, Migo, meaning since this wall on the outside will help for Shabbos, it also helps for Sukkah. So Taisa says you can't do that for a few reasons. Chada, da atu milo oved Rav Kahana Sukkah ela b'Shabbos. This rule of Migo, the fact that this would help, let's say, in the Mavoi case that we drew beforehand, that means it helps for Shabbos. So you're going to tell me, oh, since it helps for Shabbos, it also helps for Sukkah. Well, that means it only helps for Saturday during Sukkot. And it's not reasonable that the statement of Rav Kahana or this whole thing that Rav Kahana was doing, building the wall, it's not reasonable that he was only building it for Shabbos. The ode, moreover, zokt Taisus, dishlishus to oraisa lo mahanemigo kedepricious soel. Right, a sukkah requires three walls on the level of doraisa. Migo, this little shmigegi. Oh, since it helps the Shabbos, also helps the sukkah. That works on dinim derabbanan. But on the level of doraisa, it's not going to help. And we need a third wall. Min HaTorah, right? A sukkah with only two walls is not a kosher a sukkah. Min HaTorah, you need a third wall. So therefore, Tosfos is asking, how on earth could this case help? How on earth could this case help, Tosfos asks? Because that little wall, that C, is going to only work on dinim derabbanan, like mavoi, it's not going to work on dinim d'oraisa. So Tosfos is bothered by the kasha. How does it help? Comes along the Rush. Did any of you have a chance to look at the Rush? Okay, Zoe, you looked at the Rush. So could I ask you to paraphrase? The Rush has two ways of answering this question. We could probably read it inside. I'm just worried it'll take us too long, and I'd rather try to finish this topic tonight if we can. The Russian Simon Lamedalad. It's really the end of the Russian Simon Lamedalad. There's like two halves of the Russian Simon Lamedalad. I'm talking about the half of the Rush that addresses our Gemara, that of Rav Ashi. Right, so the Rush quotes the whole story, and he quotes Tosfos' kasha, right? What connection is there between Mavoi and Sukkah? By Mavoi, that lechi, that post on the outside, that helps only based on the rules of Heker. It's just something that's recognizable.
a bais sukkah, you need a full-fledged mechitza. So how does it help? And don't tell me it helps based on Migo. So the Rosh has two answers. Anyone remember what the two answers are? I'll tell you. V'yesh lomar. Yeah? Oh, sorry, I cut you off.
Oh, I think that the first answer, which we understood, was that he actually changed the necessity of that third wall to a derabanan.
How did I change it to derabanan?
Yeah, didn't he say that only derabanan you need the extra tefach if you have a stirat ha-pesach?
So oh, that- right, that's the key words. Right? So the Rush is going to say that what you have over here is a Siris HaPesach, right? I'm actually should do this in a different color because, right? The Rush is going to say that what you have over here is a Siris HaPesach, meaning you have a post and a string on top of those posts. Ordinarily, that does not work by sukkah. Ordinarily, you don't use a Tzuras HaPesach as a sukkah. But in this case, since you have C that sticks out from the outside, so therefore will allow you to use the Tzuras HaPesach, or I'll say it better, since you have a Tzuras HaPesach, the Tzuras HaPesach helps on the level of Da'iraisa. Only Midrabanan does it not help. So therefore, anything on the outside is good enough. According to the Rush, invoking Tzuras HaPesach is because since the named authority in our Gemara is Rav Kahana, and Rav Kahana tells us that in a case of two walls, and you need that third wall, Rav Kahana says you also need a Tzuras HaPesach, right? So according to Rav Kahana, it works when you have a Tzuras HaPesach. So therefore, Rav Kahana l'shitasel, says the Rush, is talking about that there is a Tzuras HaPesach. And once there's a Tzuras HaPesach, so on the level of Doraisa, it helps. Once it helps on the level of Doraisa, so we allow it to help also. We allow the Nirim B'Rachos Hashem B'Rifnin, meaning we allow that letter C to seal it off to make it a good mechitza. That is what the Rush says. One second. So again, so the Rush is basically saying that I have a Tzuras HaPesach, and because I have a Tzuras HaPesach, that is why it helps. That's answer one of the Rush. What's answer two of the Rush, Chefra? Rachel, you were doing very well in answer one. You want to tell me answer two?
I understand answer two.
Okay. So answer two of the Rush is as follows. Inami. It's like two lines before the end of the Rush. Hada amar Rava de lo mahani pitikra keva de mechitzos legavai avdinan velo labaroi haynu midrabonim ba'alma. Hilkach le'inyan tefach socheg mahani nire mibachot. Says the answer two of the Rush. The case in our Gemara is that you have a sukkah, and the sukkah is next to an achsadra. So now imagine that this whole thing is a covered portico. Right? This is a portico next to the sukkah. We don't say pitikra. We don't drop the edge of the portico on its own. There's no pitsimin. We don't say pitikra. However, the Rush is saying, on the level of da'iraisa, we will say pitikra.
Midrabbanan, I don't say pitikra. Once I'm going to say pitikra on the love of Doraisa, so I'm going to say a pitikra plus my little shmigegi sticking outside the sukkah, my letter C. So that will make it a good sukkah. Effectively, answer one of the rush and answer two of the rush are quite similar. Both are saying that it helps because they're both saying that it's going to help because min ha-Torah it helps. But the question is, why does it help min ha-Torah? Answer one of the Rush says it helps min ha-Torah because you have a Tzuris ha-Pesach. Answer two of the Rush says the reason why it helps min ha-Torah is because I am going to say pi tikra. This whole area, right, is an overhang. I will drop the overhang, even though I don't say pitikra according to Rava. But that just means midrabanan, I don't say pitikra. But when I have a shmigegi on the outside plus a pitikra, that helps. The advantage of answer two of the rush, of course, is that now this Gemara is connected to what we were learning for the last blot. Right? Answer one has an advantage in that it makes sense. Rav Kahana l'shitaso. Answer two is connecting it to what we have been learning in terms of the sugya of pitikra. Ms. Gutman, how are you?
For the second answer of the rush, what was the Durabanan thing that pitikra didn't work for in terms of
pitikra is not, we will not allow you to use pitikra on its own, but that's a din derabanan. When I have a nira mibachutz, when I have something that sticks out from the outside, right? In other words, Rava says I do not say pitikra because the tikra is going in the wrong direction, because the portico is intended to enclose the area that has the overhang. It's not intended for the area of the mechitza. It's not intended for the sukkah, for this area. It's intended for this area, not for that area. However, on the level of Doraisa Zakhtarash, I'm not going to distinguish. If it's a mechitza, it's a mechitza. So it's going to help for here, it's going to help for here. They both help. Midrabanan, there's a problem. On the level of Durabanan, I'll say that the little shmendrik that sticks out over there is good enough. Both answers of the rush are saying that our Gemara allows us to use Nir Emi Bachutz because the only issue at hand is Durabanan. Either the only issue at hand is Durabanan because it is a situation where there is a Tzuris HaPesach, or the issue at hand is Durabanan because Pitikra works on the level of Daraisa. That is the two opinions in the rush.
Did we mention
that? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Rachel, yeah, continue.
I feel that the question isn't clear to me. Did we mention before that Durabanan have had this extra thing and say that Pitikra doesn't work by them? No.
We did not say this at all. The rush is being mechadish for us, okay, that the din that Pitikra does not work according to Rava is a din derabanan. Min ha-Taira Pitikra works just fine. It's only mid derabanan that Pitikra doesn't work. But that's what the rush is being mechadish, yes. And once the rush is being mechadish that, so then we could say that's why we use Nir Rechaz Hashem Mibifnem. Correct. Oh. So now, yeah, Tanya, you had a comment before?
I was just struggling with what Achel is struggling with, so, yeah.
Okay, so that's very good. So now, Baruch Hashem, we're not struggling anymore. Okay, so this is the Gemara and the Shita of Rashi. Again, according to Rashi, our Gemara at the end is not really about Pitikra, it would seem. It's just a Nirem B'chutz. However, the Rush says that's not really possible because Nirem B'chutz can't really help. Tosfos blives fair. Tosfos asks the kasha and doesn't answer. The Rosh is saying, I'm going to answer the Kasha by saying that we're talking about Atzeres HaPesach, or we're talking about Pitikra, and that's why it works. That's what the Rosh says. Great. Now, both the Shita of Rashi does not seem to be the mainstream Shita in Shulchan Aruch. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Tav Resh Lamed Seif Ches, do any of you have a chance to take a look at these dinim? No, not really. Okay, so in Tav Resh Lamed Seif Ches, I'll just paraphrase it for you. The our case is Sikech Agabe Achsadra, right? That's the Lashon. Sikech Agabe Achsadra. So I put the Sach, the Sach on top of an Achsadra. Rashi learns what that means is I put Sach on top of an Achsadra. So this whole area is a portico, and my Sach goes on top of it. That's the way Rashi learns. Rambam, Rif, etc. They say that Sikech Agabe Achsadra means I put the Sach next to an Achsadra. Meaning, I have, this is a Mechitza. This is a regular wall. This is a Mechitza, a regular wall. I have an Achsadra over here. I have an Achsadra over here. I put my schach, says Rambam and Rif, etc. I put my schach not on top of the achsadra, but next to the achsadra. Right? This is achsadra. This is achsadra. My schach is not on top of the achsadra. My schach is next to the achsadra. I have two full-fledged mechitzos. Right? This is a great mechitza up here. Let's even do a different color. Right? This is a marvelous mechitza, A. B, down here is a marvelous mechitza. I have schach that is resting between two amazing mechitzos. The question is, can I say a pitikra to seal it off, to create a third wall for the sukkah? Unlike Rashi, who's addressing a question as to whether I could say a P Tikra on all three sides, the Rif and the Rambam are saying you can certainly not say P Tikra on three sides. The question is, can you say P Tikra on one side? You have two full-fledged mechitzos. This, by the way, is a Gemara that we had on Daf Vav or Zayin in Daf Yomi, like yesterday, which is I have a Mavli, and I put Tzrach on top of a Mavli. Does it work? So the Gemara says over there, well, it only works if you have what's called a Pas Dalet. It only works if you have a, that's not a good color. It only works if you have a beam of four tefachim. If you have a mavoi, right, it goes like this, right, and the schach wants to be in between it, it's only going to help if I have a four tefach thing that comes out. However, our Gemara says that that's not the only thing that's going to help. I have something else that will help. Meaning, I could say pitikra, but I will only say pitikra when I have some pitsimen, meaning when I have a vertical post or two over here. They are not within lovehood, but that vertical post allows me to drop it, allows me to say pitikra on this. Or, our Gemara says, if I have a nira mibachutz, again, I have a full-fledged mechitza here, a full-fledged mechitza here, and I have, right, an achsadra here and here, and I want to have my schach, right, in the middle. I want this to be my sukkah. in order for this to be my sukkah, I need a third wall. I say the third wall with one pitikra. But that one pitikra can only be said if I have something besides just the end of the ceiling, pitzimin, a book, a vertical post, or even if I have a nirami bachutz, right? That's what the Gemara in Yotzeh says. If I have something that sticks out the other way, that's good enough to allow me to say pitikra. So the Rambam and the Rif are saying that our Gemara on Yotzeh is about pitikra. It's about pitikra. Now, there's a lot to say. Let's hear from Rachel.
My question was just, we were saying that Rashi holds that it's a question of pitikra on all three sides.
Yes.
But I thought that on your test with Rav Kahana, he thought it was, there was two perpendicular mechitzot, and then the third was.
But again, according to Rashi, the Gemara about Rav Kahana is not really about pitikra.
Oh, right? Okay.
According to Rashi, the Gemara of Rav Kahana is about Nirim Bechuz Yisham Bifnim. It really has nothing to do with Pitikra. It wasn't until the Rush was born that he tried to shtuk Pitikra in to answer Rashi. But Rashi himself does not use the words Pitikra at all in the Gemara on Daf Yotzeh. Now, according to the Rambam and the Rif, the case is that the Schach has two walls, and the schach is next to the achsadra. The achsadra are these two things in green. The schach is not on top of the achsadra. Schach is next to the achsadra. Right? According to Rashi's way of looking at the Gemara, the schach is on top of the achsadra. Right? The way some of the Mefarshim explain this is based on how we understand the biblical Hebrew term of al. The lashon of our Gemara is sikech al gabe achsadra. If you read the Rif over here, it's daf tesomaraf gadape harif. If you read the Rif writes very clearly that when I say the word al, is up the Rif. The haidamin an al gabe achsadra lav al gabe mamish elo b'somokla kidechsev v'alav matei menashe. And the Rif writes on daf tes b'dapei harif that when I say sikech al achsadra, it means I'm putting the schach next to the achsadra, not on top of the achsadra. It's next to it. And the word al means besamuch. Al means next to it. As opposed to Rashi, who is saying that the schach is going on top of the achsadra, right? And the question is it on top of the achsadra? In which case I could say pitikra because you see the peh, or is it on bottom of the achsadra? Like we pointed out, you can't see the peh. But whatever it is, it's al on this, in the sense of on top of, as opposed to the Rif who is saying that I am putting the schach next to the portico, next to the achsadra. This is a big machlokas in the Mishnah. I'm learning Menachos this summer. So the Mishnah Menachos on Daf Tzadi Vav talks about the Lechem Haponim. And the Torah writes that you have to put bazichei levona on top of the lechem haponim, or you need v'nasata al halechem. You have to put bazichei levona, which are little containers of spice, and you put them al halechem. There's a machlekes hatanoim in the Mishnah in Menachos Daf Tzadi Vav. What does that word al mean? Does that word al mean that if I have a shulchan, right, the shulchan is going to have, let's say, it's going to have 12 breads, right? Right, that's 12. There are 12 breads on the shulchan. Where do I put the bazichei levona? Do I put it on top of the breads? I have one bozich over here, one bozich over here. That's one approach. The other approach is that the shulchan is actually wider than the lechem. So I have one loaf here, one loaf here. I have space between the loaves, and I put my bozichei levona between the loaves. That's the opinion of Abba Shaul in the Mishnah Tzadivov. And Abba Shaul says, you know how I get that? Because the word al does not mean on top of. The Tanakam in the Mishnah Tzadivov in Menacha says, you have to put the bozichei levona on top of it. Abba Shaul says, you put it in between, next to it, adjacent to it. I'm only thinking about this because I'm wearing Menachas. I just saw this Mishnah. And the Rif over here says, right, that when we say al achsadra, it doesn't mean al mamish. It means besamach. Right? The Rif knew Meseches Menachas also. And the Rif says, I'm referencing that Gemara in, or that Mishnah in Menachos, that the word al means next to it, not on top of it. We didn't really have a chance to go through the Rambam and the Rif's Shita thoroughly. Maybe next week in Yirtzeh Hashem, we can do that. But any questions or comments or observations? Okay, I guess my son spoke so much. Everyone is very quiet now. Excellent.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
When we were, the Rif and the Rambam, they had two parallel walls. But when the Rosh was talking, he had perpendicular walls. So I just...
Right, so...
Any, like, difference with that?
The Rif and the Rambam have parallel walls. The Rosh's perpendicular walls is... Right, the Rosh is trying to explain that Rashi, on your test, that the walls are perpendicular. The Rif and the Rambam... they do not have perpendicular walls at all, correct. Their walls are always parallel. Yes. The answer to your question is yes.
Yeah, no. So my question, I guess, is there any difference?
It's a completely different way of looking at Judaism. It's a completely different way of looking at the sugya, right? The case is a very different case. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. It's a strange situation here, that the machlokas is as much about how I envision the case as it is about halachic categories. Right? The way I draw the case, right, according to Rashi, let's say, the end of the Gemara is when I have two perpendicular walls and I have that third guy on the outside. That's Rashi. Right? The Rif and the Rambam are going to say that the case is I have two parallel walls, and I have my portico. I want to use my portico to be a pitikra. If I have a third thing sticking out over here on the outside, that enables me to say pitikra. That's the way the Rambam's going to learn the Gemara. It's a very different seer. It's a very different case than the case of Rashi. Yes.
But my question, I guess, is, for the Rush and the Rif and the Rambam, they're all asking, it kind of does seem like the same case, because the third wall, they want to use the portico. They just put their two other walls in different places. That's where my question is coming from, because it didn't seem to me like it mattered. Like, I still don't.
I mean, again, it matters a lot. You see, according to the, maybe we'll pick this up next week, according to the Rambam and the Rif, my sukkah over here, the schach, is between two actual walls. According to Rashi, the schach is not situated between any real walls. The schach is just on top of a portico. There are no real walls. According to the Rif and the Rush, I have wall, and I have schach between these walls. So the schach it's a sukkah that has two full-fledged walls. The question is, can I create a third wall? Good. We'll discuss it further. Okay, Chevra. Tisha B'Av, we're not allowed to learn Torah. But yeah, end of conversation. Okay. Hey, Chevra, have a wonderful Shabbos. And again, we should all be Zocha to Nochamas Tzinyon and Binyan Yerushalayim. That's sort of what we're asking for. And we'll pick up Em Yirtzeh Hashem next week. Okay, Yashikayach.
Thanks, Rabbi Schwartz.
Thank you. Thank you for coming to learn.
Thank you.